Ellen's former betrothed was immaculate as always. Her long auburn hair had an almost luminous sheen, and her beautiful figure only reminded Vin how scrawny she herself was. Self-important in a way that could make even a confident person uncertain, Shan was, as Vin was beginning to realize, exactly what most of the aristocracy thought was the perfect woman. The men in Vin's group nodded their heads in respect, and the women curtsied, honored to have their conversation joined by one so important. Vin glanced to the side, trying to escape, but Shan was standing right before her.
Ah, Lord Mylan. It's a pity that your original date this evening took sick. It appears you were left with few other options.
Mylan flushed, Shan's comment expertly placing him in a difficult position. Did he defend Vin, possibly earning the ire of a very powerful woman, or did he instead agree with Shan, thereby insulting his date?
Lady Shan, it is a pleasure to have you join us.
Indeed.
Cursed woman.
It seemed that whenever Shan grew bored, she would seek out Vin and embarrass her for sport.
However, I'm afraid I didn't come to chat. Unpleasant though it may be, I have business with the Renault child. Will you excuse us?
Of course, my lady. Lady Valette, thank you for your company this evening.
Vin nodded to him and the others, feeling a little like a wounded animal being abandoned by the herd. She really didn't want to deal with Shan this evening.
Lady Shan, I think your interest in me is unfounded. I haven't really been spending much time with Ellen lately.
I know. It appears I overestimated your competence, child. One would think that once you'd gained favor with a man so much more important than yourself, you wouldn't have let him slip away so easily.
Shouldn't she be jealous?
Vin suppressed a cringe as she felt the inevitable touch of Shan's allomancy on her emotions.
Shouldn't she hate me for taking her place?
But that wasn't the noble way. Vin was nothing, a momentary diversion. Shan wasn't interested in recapturing Ellen's affection. She just wanted a way to strike back at the man who had slighted her.
A wise girl would put herself in a position where she could make use of the only advantage she has. If you think any other important nobleman will ever pay any attention to you, then you are mistaken. Ellen likes to shock the court, and so naturally he chose to do so with the most homely and lumpish woman he could find. Take this opportunity, you shall not soon find another.
Vin gritted her teeth against the insults and the allomancy. Shan had obviously made an art out of forcing people to take whatever abuse she saw fit to deliver.
Now, I require information regarding certain texts Ellen has in his possession. You can read, can't you?
Vin nodded curtly.
Good. All you need to do is memorize the titles of his books. Don't look on the outside covers, they can be misleading. Read the first few pages, then report back to me.
And if I should instead tell Ellen what you're planning?
My dear, you don't know what I'm planning. Besides, you seem to be making some headway in court. Surely you realize that betraying me is not something you want to even contemplate.
With that, Shan walked off, immediately gathering a collection of hangers-on from the surrounding nobility. Shan's soothing weakened, and Vin felt her frustration and anger rise. There had been a time when she would have simply scampered away, ego already too beaten down to be bothered by Shan's insults. This night, however, she found herself wishing for a way to strike back.
Calm yourself. This is a good thing. You've become a pawn in Great House plans. Most lesser nobility probably dream of such an opportunity.
She retreated toward the now empty table she had shared with Mylan. The ball this evening was being held at the marvelous Keep Hastings. Its tall, round central keep was attended by 6 auxiliary towers, each set off from the main building a short distance, and connected to it by wall-top walkways. All 7 towers were set with winding, curving patterns of stained glass. The ballroom was at the top of the wide central tower. Fortunately, a system of ska-powered pulley platforms kept noble guests from having to walk all the way to the top. The ballroom itself wasn't as spectacular as some Vin had visited, just a squarish chamber with vaulted ceilings and colored glass running around the perimeter.
Funny how easily one can become jaded. Perhaps that's how the noblemen can do such terrible things. They've been killing for so long that it doesn't unsettle them anymore.
She asked a servant to go fetch Sazed, then sat down to rest her feet.
I wish Kelsier would hurry up and get back.
The crew, Vin included, seemed less motivated without him around. It wasn't that she didn't want to work. Kelsier's snappy wit and optimism just helped keep her moving. Vin looked up idly, and her eyes caught sight of Ellen Venture standing just a short distance away, chatting with a small group of young noblemen. She froze. Part of her, the Vin part, wanted to scurry away and hide. She'd fit beneath a table, dress and all. Oddly, however, she found her Valette side stronger.
I have to talk to him. Not because of Shan, but because I have to find out the truth. Doxson was exaggerating. He had to be.
When had she grown so confrontational? Even as she stood, Vin was amazed at her firm resolve. She crossed the ballroom, checking her black dress briefly as she walked. One of Ellen's companions tapped him on the shoulder, nodding toward Vin. Ellen turned, and the other two men withdrew.
Why, Valette? I arrived late. I didn't even know you were here.
Liar. Of course you knew. Valette wouldn't miss the Hastings ball. How'd approach it? How'd ask?
You've been avoiding me.
No, I wouldn't say that. I've just been busy. House issues, you know. Besides, I warned you that I was rude at... Valette, is everything all right?
Vin suddenly felt a tear on her cheek.
Idiot!
Vin dabbed her eyes with Lesterborn's handkerchief.
You'll ruin your makeup.
Valette, you're shaking. Here, let's go to the balcony and get you some fresh air.
She let him lead her away, and they stepped into the quiet, dark air. The balcony, one of many jutting from the top of the central Hastings Tower, was empty. A single stone lantern stood as part of the railing, and some tastefully placed plants lined the corners. Mist floated in the air, prevalent as ever, though the balcony was close enough to the keep's warmth that the mist was weak. Ellen didn't pay attention to it. He, like most noblemen, considered fear of the mist to be a foolish ska superstition, which Vin supposed was right.
Now, what is this about? I'll admit, I have been ignoring you. I'm sorry. You didn't deserve it. I just... Well, it just seemed like you were fitting in so well that you didn't need a troublemaker like me.
Have you ever slept with a ska woman?
Is that what this is all about? Who told you this?
Have you?
Lord Ruler, it's true.
Sit down.
Ellen fetched her a chair.
It's true, isn't it? You've done it. He was right. You're all monsters.
He laid a hand on Vin's arm, but she pulled it away, only to feel a teardrop drip down her face and stain her dress. She reached up, wiping her eyes, the handkerchief coming back colored with makeup.
It happened when I was 13. My father thought it was time that I became a man. I didn't even know that they were going to kill the girl afterward, Valette. Honestly, I didn't.
And after that? How many girls have you murdered, Ellen Venture?
None. Never again, Valette. Not after I found out what happened that first time.
You expect me to believe you?
I don't know. Look, I know that it's fashionable for the women of the court to label all men brutes, but you have to believe me. We're not all like that.
I was told that you are.
By whom? Country nobility? Valette, they don't know us. They're jealous because we control most of the canal systems. And they might just have a right to be. Their envy doesn't make us terrible people, however.
What percentage? How many noblemen do these things?
Maybe a third? I'm not sure. They aren't the types I spend my time with.
She wanted to believe him, and that desire should have made her more skeptical. But looking into those eyes, eyes she had always found so honest, she found herself swayed. For the first time she could remember, she completely pushed aside Reen's whispers and simply believed.
A third. So many. But that's better than all of them.
Vin reached up to dab her eyes, and Ellen eyed her handkerchief.
Who gave you that?
A suitor.
Is he the one who's been telling you these things about me?
No, that was another. He said that all noblemen, or rather, all Luthadel noblemen, were terrible people. He said that court women don't even consider it cheating when their men sleep with ska whores.
Your informant doesn't know women very well, then. I dare you to find me one lady who isn't bothered when her husband dallies with another, ska or noble.
Vin started calming herself down. She felt ridiculous, but she also felt at peace. Ellen knelt beside her chair, still obviously concerned.
So, your father is one of the third?
He likes all kinds of mistresses. Ska, noble, it doesn't matter to him. I still think about that night, Valette. I don't know.
Wasn't your fault, Elend. You were just a 13-year-old boy who was doing what his father told him.
Elend looked away, but she had already seen the anger and guilt in his eyes.
Someone needs to stop these kinds of things from happening.
This is a man who cares. A man like Kelsier, or like Doxson, a good man. Why can't they see that?
He sat down, elbow resting against the railing, running his hand through his messy hair.
Well, you probably aren't the first lady I've made cry at a ball, but you are the first one I've made cry that I sincerely care about. My gentlemanly prowess has reached new depths.
That's not you. It's just been a very draining few months. When I found out about these things, I just couldn't handle it all.
The corruption in Luthadel needs to be dealt with. The Lord Ruler doesn't even see it. He doesn't want to.
Vin nodded, then she eyed Elend.
Why exactly have you been avoiding me lately anyway?
I just figured you had enough new friends to keep you occupied.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't like a lot of the people you've been spending your time with, Valette. You've managed to fit very well into Luthadel society, and I generally find that playing politics changes people.
That's easy to say. Especially when you're at the very top of the political structure. You can afford to ignore politics. Some of us aren't so fortunate.
I suppose.
Besides, you play politics just as well as the rest. Or are you going to try and tell me that your initial interest in me wasn't sparked by a desire to spite your father?
Elend held up his hands.
All right, consider me suitably chastised. I was a fool and a twit. It runs in the family.
Vin sat back and felt the cool whisper of the mists on her tear-wetted cheeks. Elend wasn't a monster. She believed him on that count. Perhaps she was a fool, but Kelsier was having an effect on her. She was beginning to trust those around her, and there was no one she wanted to let herself trust more than Elend Venture. And when it wasn't connected directly to Ellen, she found the horrors of the noble-ska relationship easier to deal with. Even if a third of the noblemen were murdering ska women, something was probably salvageable of the society. The nobility wouldn't have to be purged. That was their tactic. Vin would have to make certain that sort of thing didn't happen, no matter what bloodline one had.
Lord Ruler, I'm starting to think like the others. It's almost like I think that we can change things.
Vin glanced across at Elend, who sat with his back to the curling mists beyond. He looked morose.
I brought out bad memories. No wonder he hates his father so much.
She longed to do something to make him feel better.
Elend, they're just like us.
What?
The plantation ska. You asked me about them once. I was afraid, so I acted like a proper noblewoman. But you seemed disappointed when I didn't have more to say.
So, you did spend time with the ska?
A lot of time. Too much, if you ask my family. That might be why they sent me out here. I knew some of the ska very well. One older man in particular. He lost someone. A woman he loved. To a nobleman who wanted a pretty thing for the evening's entertainment.
At your plantation?
He ran away and came to my father's lands.
And you hid him? Runaway ska are supposed to be executed.
I kept his secret. I didn't know him for very long, but... Well, I can promise you this, Elend. His love was as strong as that of any nobleman. Stronger than most of them here in Luthadel, certainly.
And intelligence? Did they seem... slow?
Of course not. I should think, Elend Venture, that I knew several ska more clever than yourself... They may not have education, but they're still intelligent. And they're angry.
Angry?
Some of them. About the way they're treated.
They know, then? About the disparities between us and them?
How could they not?
Vin reached up to wipe her nose with the handkerchief. She paused, however, noting just how much makeup she had rubbed across it.
Here.
Elend held out his own handkerchief.
Tell me more. How do you know these things?
They told me. They trusted me. I know that they're angry because they would complain about their lives. I know they're intelligent because of the things they keep hidden from the nobility.
Like what?
Like the Underground Movement Network. Ska helped runaways travel the canals from plantation to plantation. The noblemen don't notice because they never pay attention to Ska faces.
Interesting.
Plus, there are the thieving crews. I figure that those Ska must be fairly clever if they're able to hide from the obligators and the nobility, stealing from the great houses right beneath the Lord Ruler's nose.
Yes, I know. I wish I could meet one of them to ask them how they hide so well. They must be fascinating people.
Vin almost spoke further, but she held her tongue.
I've probably said too much already.
Elend looked over at her.
You're fascinating too, Valette. I should have known better than to assume you'd been corrupted by the rest of them. You'll be able to corrupt them instead.
Vin smiled.
But I need to be leaving. I actually came to the party tonight for a specific purpose. Some friends of mine are meeting together.
That's right! One of the men Ellen met with before, the ones that Kelsier and Sazed thought it was strange that he would associate with, was a Hasting.
Vin stood as well, handing Ellen back his handkerchief. He didn't take it.
You might want to keep that. It wasn't intended to be simply functional.
Vin looked down at the handkerchief.
Oh.
She pulled the handkerchief back.
Thank you.
Ellen smiled, stepping close to her.
That other man, whoever he is, might have a lead on me because of my foolishness. However, I'm not so foolish that I would pass up the chance to give him a little competition.
He winked, bowed slightly, and walked back toward the central ballroom. Vin waited a moment, then walked forward and slipped through the balcony doorway. Elend met up with the same two as before, a Lacal and a Hasting, political enemies of the venture. They paused for a moment, then all three walked toward a stairwell at the side of the room.
Those stairwells only lead to one place.
Vin slipped back into the room.
The auxiliary towers.
Mistress Valet?
Ah!
Vin turned to find Sazed approaching.
Are we ready to go?
Lord Ellen Venture just disappeared down that stairwell with his Hasting and Lacal friends.
Interesting. And why would... Mistress, what happened to your makeup?
Never mind. I think I should follow them.
Is that another handkerchief, Mistress? You have been busy.
Sazed, are you listening to me?
Yes, Mistress. I suppose you could follow them if you wish, but you would be fairly obvious. I don't know that it would be the best method of gaining information.
I wouldn't follow them overtly. I'd use allomancy. But I need your permission for that.
I see. How is your side?
It's been healed for ages. I don't even notice it anymore.
Very well. Master Kelsier intended to begin your training in earnest again when he returned anyway. Just... be careful. This is a ridiculous thing to say to a Mistborn, I think, but I ask anyway.
I will. I'll meet you on that balcony over there in an hour.
Good luck, Mistress.
Vin was already rushing back toward the balcony. She stepped around the corner, then stood before the stone railing and the mists beyond. The beautiful, swirling void.
It's been far too long.
Vin reached into her sleeve and pulled out a vial of metals. She downed it eagerly and got out a small handful of coins. Then, blissfully, she hopped up onto the railing and threw herself out into the dark mists. Tin gave her sight as the wind flapped at her dress. Pewter gave her strength as she turned her eyes toward the buttress-like wall running between the tower and the main keep. Steel gave her power as she threw a coin downward, sending it into the darkness. She lurched in the air. Vin felt like she was trying to pull a bale of cloth behind her, but her allomancy was strong enough to deal with that. Ellen's tower was the next one over. She needed to get onto the wall-top walkway that ran between it and the central tower. Vin flared steel, pushing herself up a bit higher, then flung another coin into the mists behind her. When it hit the wall, she used it to shoot herself forward.
Oh!
She slammed into her target wall just a bit too low, folds of cloth cushioning the blow, but she managed to grab the lip of the walkway above. An unenhanced Vin would have had trouble pulling herself up onto the wall, but Vin the Allomancer easily scrambled over the side. She crouched in her black dress, moving across the wall-top pathway. There were no guards, but the tower ahead of her had a lit sentry post at its base.
Can't go that way.
She glanced upward instead. The tower appeared to have several rooms, and a couple of them were lit. Finn dropped a coin and catapulted herself upward, then pulled against a window mounting and yanked herself over to land lightly on the stone window ledge. The shutters were closed against the night, and she had to lean close, flaring tin, to hear what was going on inside.
These balls always last well into the night. We'll probably have to pull double duty.
Guards.
Vin jumped and pushed against the top of the window. She caught the base of the next window ledge and pulled herself up.
Gentlemen, I don't regret my tardiness.
Elend.
She happens to be far more attractive than you are, Telvin.
The mighty Elend Venture, finally captured by a pretty face.
She's more than that, Just. She's kind-hearted. She helped Ska runaways on her plantation. I think we should bring her in to talk with us.
Not a chance. Look, Elend, I don't mind if you want to talk philosophy. Hell, I'll even share a few drinks with you when you do, but I'm not going to let random people come join us.
I agree with Telden. Five people is enough.
See, now, I don't think you're being fair.
Elend.
All right. All right. Telden, did you read the book I gave you?
I tried. It's a bit thick.
But it's good, right?
Good enough. I can see why the Lord Ruler hates it so much.
Red Eleven's works are better, more concise.
I don't mean to be contrary, but is this all we're going to do? Read?
What's wrong with reading?
It's a bit boring.
Boring? Gentlemen, these ideas, these words, they're everything. These men knew that they'd be executed for their words. Can you not sense their passion?
Passion, yes. Usefulness, no.
We can change the world. Two of us are house heirs. The other three are second heirs.
Someday, we'll be the ones in charge. If we can put these ideas into effect, fairness, diplomacy, moderation, we can exert pressure even on the Lord Ruler.
You might be heir to a powerful house, Elend, but the rest of us aren't as important. Telden and Jost's will probably never inherit, and Kvothe, no offense, is hardly that influential. We can't change the world.
We can change the way our houses work. If the houses would stop squabbling, we might be able to gain some real power in the government, rather than just bow to the whims of the Lord Ruler.
Every year, the nobility grows weaker. Our ska belong to the Lord Ruler, as does our land. His obligators determine who we can marry and what we can believe. Our canals, even, are officially his property. Ministry assassins kill men who speak out too openly or who are too successful. This is no way to live.
I agree with you there. Ellen's prattling about class imbalance seems like silliness to me, but I can see the importance of presenting a unified front before the Lord Ruler.
Exactly. This is what we have to do.
Finn!
Oh!
Finn jumped, nearly falling off the window ledge in shock. She glanced around in alarm.
Above you!
She glanced up. Kelsier hung from another window ledge just above. He smiled, winked, then nodded down toward the wall walkway below. Finn glanced back at Ellen's room as Kelsier dropped through the mists beside her. Finally, she pushed herself off and followed Kelsier down, using her same coin to slow her descent.
You're back!
Got back this afternoon.
What are you doing here?
Checking up on our friend in there. Doesn't seem like much has changed since the last time.
Last time?
I've spied on that little group a couple of times since you told me about them. I shouldn't have bothered. They're not a threat. Just a bunch of noblings getting together to drink and debate.
But they want to overthrow the Lord Ruler.
Hardly. They're just doing what noblemen do, planning alliances. It's not that unusual for the next generation to start organizing their house coalitions before they come to power.
This is different.
Oh? You've been a noble so long, you can tell that already?
Vin flushed. Kelsier put a friendly arm around her shoulders.
Oh, don't get like that. They seem like nice enough lads, for noblemen. I promise not to kill any of them, all right?
Vin nodded.
Perhaps we can find a way to use them. They do seem a bit more open-minded than most. I just don't want you to be disappointed, Vin. They're still noblemen. Perhaps they can't help what they are, but that doesn't change their nature.
Just like Doxen, Kelsier assumes the worst about Elend.
But did she really have any reason to expect otherwise? To fight a battle like Kelsier and Doxen were, it was probably more effective and better for the psyche to assume that all of their enemies were evil.
What happened to your makeup, by the way?
I don't want to talk about it.
Why did I have to cry? I'm such an idiot. And the way I blurted out that question about him sleeping with Ska.
Okay, then. We should get going. I doubt young Venture and his comrades will discuss anything relevant. I've listened to them on 3 separate occasions, Vin. I'll summarize for you if you want.
All right. But I told Sazed I'd meet him back up at the party.
Off you go, then. I promised not to tell him you were sneaking around using allomancy.
He told me I could.
He did?
Vin nodded.
My mistake. You should probably have Saze fetch you a cloak before you leave the party. You've got ash all over the front of your dress. I'll meet you back at Clubs's shop. Have the carriage drop you and Sazed off there, then continue on out of the city. That'll keep up appearances.
In the end, I must trust in myself. I have seen men who have beaten from themselves the ability to recognize truth and goodness, and I do not think I am one of them. I can still see the tears in a young child's eyes and feel pain at his suffering. If I ever lose this, then I will know that I've passed beyond hope of redemption.
Kelsier was already at the shop when Vin and Sazed arrived. He sat with Ham, Clubs, and Spook in the kitchen, enjoying a late-night drink.
Ham! You're back!
Yep.
It seems like you've been gone forever.
You're telling me.
Kelsier stood to refill his drink.
Ham's a bit tired of playing general.
I had to wear a uniform.
Ham now wore his customary vest and trousers.
Even Plantation Scott don't have to deal with that kind of torture.
Try wearing a formal gown sometime.
She seated herself. She'd brushed off the front of the dress, and it didn't look half as bad as she'd feared. The blackish-gray ash still showed up a bit against the dark fabric, and the fibers were rough where she'd rubbed against stone, but both were barely noticeable.
It seems like you've turned into a proper young lady while I was gone.
Hardly.
Kelsier handed Vin a cup of wine. She paused briefly, then took a sip.
Mistress Vin is being modest, Master Hammond. She's growing quite proficient at courtly arts. Better than many actual nobles that I have known.
Vin flushed.
Humility, Vin? Where'd you ever learn a bad habit like that?
Not from me, certainly.
Of course she didn't get it from you, Kel. Maybe Spook taught her. He seems to be the only one in this crew who knows how to keep his mouth shut. Hey, kid?
Spook flushed, obviously trying to avoid looking at Vin.
I'll have to deal with him sometime, but not tonight. Kelsier's back, and Ellen's not a murderer. This is a night to relax.
Doxson strolled into the room.
A party? And no one sent for me.
You seemed busy.
Besides, we know you're too responsible to sit around and get drunk with a bunch of miscreants like us.
Someone has to keep this crew running.
Doxson poured himself a drink. He paused, frowning at Ham.
That vest looks familiar.
I ripped the arms off my uniform coat.
You didn't!
Ham nodded, looking self-satisfied.
Ham, those things cost money.
Everything costs money. But what is money? A physical representation of the abstract concept of effort. Well, but wearing that uniform for so long was a pretty mean effort. I'd say that this vest and I are even now.
Oh, by the way, Docs, I'm going to need a few of those physical representations of the concept of effort myself. I'd like to rent a small warehouse to conduct some of my informant meetings.
That can probably be arranged, assuming we keep Vin's wardrobe budget under control. What did you do to that gown, young lady?
Perhaps it's a bit more noticeable than I thought.
You may have to get used to dirtied clothing, Docs. Vin's back on Mistborn duty as of this evening.
Interesting. Might I suggest that she avoid fighting 3 steel inquisitors at once this time?
I'll do my best.
Breeze strolled over to the table and chose a seat with his characteristic decorum. The portly man raised his dueling cane, pointing it at Ham.
I see that my period of intellectual respite has come to an end.
I thought up a couple of beastly questions while I was gone, and I've been saving them just for you, Breeze.
I'm dying of anticipation.
Breeze turned his cane toward Lesterborn.
Spook, drink.
Spook rushed over and fetched Breeze a cup of wine.
Ah, he's such a fine lad.
Breeze accepted the drink.
I barely even have to nudge him allomantically. If only the rest of you ruffians were so accommodating.
Nicing the knot on the playing without.
I have no idea what you just said, child, so I'm simply going to pretend it was coherent and just move on.
Losing the stress on the nip. Knotting without the needing of care.
Riding the rile of the rids to the right.
What are you two babbling about?
Wasn't the was of brightness. nip the having of wishing of this.
Ever wasing the doing of this.
Ever wasing the wish of having the have, breading the wish of wasing the not.
Breeze turned to Doxson.
I believe our companions have finally lost their minds, dear friend.
Wasing not of wasing is.
Breeze sat dumbfounded. Breeze rolled his eyes indignantly, shaking his head.
What did you even say, Dox?
I'm not sure. It just sounded right.
I don't think you said anything, Dox.
Oh, he said something. It just didn't mean anything.
That's pretty much true all the time. I found that you can ignore half of what Dox tells you and not miss much. Except for maybe the occasional complaint that you're spending too much.
Hey, once again, must I point out that someone has to be responsible? Honestly, the way you people go through boxings.
Vin smiled. Even Doxson's complaints seemed good-natured. Club sat quietly by the side wall, looking as curmudgeonly as ever, but Vin caught sight of a slight smile on his lips.
Yeah.
Kelsey arose and opened another bottle of wine, refilling cups as he told the crew about the Ska Army's preparations. Vin felt contented. As she sipped at her wine, she caught sight of the open doorway leading into the darkened workshop. She imagined, just for a moment, that she could see a figure out in the shadows. A frightened wisp of a girl, untrusting, suspicious. The girl's hair was ragged and short, and she wore a simple, untucked, dirty shirt and a pair of brown trousers. Vin remembered that second night in Clubs' shop, when she had stood out in the dark workroom, watching the others share late-night conversation. Had she really been that girl? One who would hide in the cold darkness, watching the laughter and friendship with a hidden envy, but never daring to join in?
You're right, Kelsier. This is better.
Vin wasn't like them yet, not completely. 6 months couldn't silence Reen's whispers, and she couldn't see herself ever being as trusting as Kelsier was. But she could finally understand, at least a little bit, why he worked the way he did.
All right.
Kelsier pulled over a chair and sat on it the wrong way.
It looks like the army will be ready on schedule, and Marsh is in place. We need to get this plan moving. Vin, news from the ball?
House Tekiel is vulnerable. Its allies are scattering, and the vultures are moving in. Some whisper that debts and lost business will force the Tekiel to sell off their keep by the end of the month. There's no way they can afford to continue paying the Lord Ruler's keep tax.
Which effectively eliminates one entire great house from the city. Most of the Tekiel nobility, including Mistings and Mistborn, will have to move to outer plantations to try and recoup losses.
Nice. That still leaves 9 great houses in the city.
But they've started killing each other at night. That's only one step away from open war. I suspect we'll see an exodus start here pretty soon. Anyone who isn't willing to risk assassination to maintain dominance in Luthadel will leave town for a couple of years.
The strong houses don't seem very afraid, though. They're still throwing balls anyway.
Oh, they'll keep doing that right up until the end. Balls make great excuses to meet with allies and keep an eye on enemies. House wars are primarily political, so they demand political battlefields.
Vin nodded.
Ham, we need to keep an eye on the Luthadel garrison. You're still planning to visit your soldier contacts tomorrow?
I can't promise anything, but I should be able to reestablish some connections. Give me a bit of time and I'll find out what the military's up to.
Good.
I'd like to go with him.
With Ham?
I haven't trained with a thug yet. Ham could probably show me a few things.
You already know how to burn pewter. We've practiced that.
I know.
How could she explain? Ham had practiced with pewter exclusively. He was bound to be better at it than Kelsier.
Oh, stop pestering the child. She's probably just tired of balls and parties. Let her go be a normal street urchin again for a bit.
Fine. Breeze, how well could your soothers manage if you were gone for a little while?
I am, of course, the most effective member of the team, but I did train the others. They'll recruit effectively without me, especially now that stories about the survivor are getting so popular.
We need to talk about that, by the way, Kel. I'm not sure I like all this mysticism about you and the 11th metal.
We can discuss it later.
Why ask about my men? Have you finally grown so jealous of my impeccable fashion sense that you've decided to have me disposed of?
You might say that. I was thinking of sending you to replace Yeadon in a few months.
Replace Yeadon? You mean for me to lead the army?
Why not? You're great at giving orders.
From the background, my dear man, I don't stand out in front. Why... I'd be a general. Do you have any idea how ludicrous that sounds?
Just consider it. Our recruitment should be mostly done by then, so you might be most effective if you were to go to the caves and let Yeadon come back to prepare his contacts here.
I suppose.
Regardless, I don't think I've had nearly enough wine. Spook, be a good lad and run down to the cellar for another bottle, eh?
The boy nodded and the conversation turned back to lighter topics. Vin settled back in her chair, feeling the warmth of the coal stove at the side of the room, content for the moment to simply enjoy the peace of not having to worry, fight, or plan.
If only Rain could have known something like this.
Vin idly fingered her earring.
Perhaps then things would have been different for him. For us.
Ham and Vin left the next day to visit the Luthadel garrison. After so many months of playing a noblewoman, Vin had thought it would feel strange to wear street clothing again. Yet it really didn't. True, it was a bit different. She didn't have to worry about sitting properly or walking so that her dress didn't brush against dirty walls or floors. Yet the mundane clothing still felt natural to her. She wore a simple pair of brown trousers and a loose white shirt tucked in at the waist, then overlaid by a leather vest. Her still lengthening hair was pulled up under a cap. Casual passers might think her a boy, though Ham didn't seem to think it mattered. And it really didn't. Vin had grown accustomed to having people study and evaluate her, but no one on the street even bothered to give her a glance. Shuffling ska workers, unconcerned low noblemen, even high-placed ska-like clubs, they all ignored her.
I'd almost forgotten what it was like to be invisible.
Fortunately, the old attitudes, looking down when she walked, stepping out of people's way, slouching to make herself inconspicuous, returned to her easily. Becoming Vin, the street ska, felt as simple as remembering an old familiar melody she used to hum.
This really is just another disguise.
Vin walked beside Ham.
My makeup is a light coat of ash, carefully rubbed on my cheeks. My gown is a pair of trousers, rubbed to make them seem old and well used.
Who then was she, really? Vin the urchin? Valette the lady? Neither? Did any of her friends really know her? Did she even really know herself?
I've missed this place.
Ham always seemed happy. She couldn't imagine him dissatisfied, despite what he'd said about his time leading the army.
It's kind of strange.
Ham didn't walk with the same careful air of despondence that Vin had cultivated. He didn't even seem to care that he stood out from other ska.
I probably shouldn't miss this place. I mean, Luthadel is the dirtiest, most crowded city in the Final Empire. But there's also something about it.
Is this where your family lives?
They live in a smaller city outside of town. My wife is a seamstress there. She tells people I'm in the Luthadel garrison.
Don't you miss them?
Of course I do. It's hard. I only get to spend a few months at a time with them. But it's better this way. If I were to get killed on the job, the Inquisitors would have a tough time tracking my family. I haven't even told Kel which city they live in.
You think the Ministry would go into that much trouble? I mean, you'd already be dead.
I'm a Misting, Vin. That means that all of my descendants will have some noble blood. My children might turn out to be Allomancers, as might their children. Now, when the Inquisitors kill a Misting, they make certain to wipe out his children, too. The only way to keep my family safe is to stay away from them.
You could just not use your Allomancy.
I don't know if I could do that.
Because of the power?
No, because of the money. Thugs, or pewter arms, as the nobility prefer to call them, are the most sought-after Mistings. A competent thug can stand against half a dozen regular men, and he can lift more, endure more, and move faster than any other hired muscle. Those things mean a lot when you have to keep your crew small. Mix a couple of coin shots with five or so thugs, and you've got yourself a small mobile army. Men will pay a lot for protection like that.
I can see how the money would be tempting.
It's more than tempting, Vin. My family doesn't have to live in packed ska tenements, nor do they have to worry about starving. My wife only works to keep up appearances. They live a good life for ska. Once I have enough, we'll move away from the central dominance. Now, there are places in the Final Empire that a lot of people don't know about. Places where a man with enough money can live the life of a nobleman. Places where you can stop worrying and just live.
That sounds appealing.
I got the dream from Kel, actually. That's what he always said he wanted to do. I just hope I have more luck than he did.
Everyone says he was rich. Why didn't he leave?
I don't know.
There was always another job, each one bigger than the last. I guess when you're a crew leader like him, the game can get addicting. And soon the money didn't even seem to matter. Eventually, he heard that the Lord Ruler was storing some incalculable secret in that hidden sanctum of his. If he and Mari had walked away before that job... Well, they didn't. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't have been happy living lives if they didn't have to worry.
The concept seemed to intrigue him, and Vin could see another of his questions working within his mind.
I guess when you're a crew leader like him, the game can get addicting.
Vin's earlier apprehensions returned. What would happen if Kelsier seized the Imperial throne for himself? He couldn't possibly be as bad as the Lord Ruler, but... She was reading more and more of the logbook. The Lord Ruler hadn't always been a tyrant. He'd been a good man once. A good man whose life had gone wrong.
Kelsier's different. He'll do the right thing.
Still, she wondered. Ham might not understand, but Vin could see the enticement. Despite noble depravity, there was something intoxicating about high society. Vin was captivated by the beauty, the music, and the dancing. Her fascination wasn't the same as Kelsier's. She wasn't as interested in political games or even scams, but she could understand why he would have been reluctant to leave Luthadel behind. That reluctance had destroyed the old Kelsier, but it had produced something better, a more determined, less self-serving Kelsier. Hopefully.
Of course, his plans before also cost him the woman he loved. Is that why he hates the nobility so much? Ham, has Kelsier always hated the nobility?
It's worse now, though.
He frightens me sometimes. Seems like he wants to kill all of them, no matter who they are.
I'm concerned about him, too. This 11th medal business, it's almost like he's making himself out to be some kind of holy man.
Ham looked toward Vin.
Don't worry too much. Breeze, Docs, and I have already talked about this. We're going to confront Kel, see if we can rein him in a bit. He means well, but he has a tendency to go a little overboard sometimes.
Vin nodded. Ahead, the customary crowded lines of people waited for permission to pass through the city gates. She and Ham walked past the solemn group, workers being sent out to the docks, men off to work one of the outer mills alongside the river or lake, lesser noblemen wishing to travel. All had to have a good reason to leave the city. The Lord Ruler strictly controlled travel inside his realm.
Poor things.
Vin passed a ragged band of children carrying pails and brushes, probably on duty to climb the wall and scrub mist-grown lichen off the parapets. Vin followed Ham past the gates, heading down a street parallel to the city wall, at the end of which Vin could see a large building complex. Vin had never studied the garrison headquarters before. Most crew members tended to stay a good distance away from it. However, as they approached, she was impressed by its defensive appearance. Large spikes were mounted on the wall that ran around the entire complex. The buildings within were bulky and fortified. Soldiers stood at the gates, eyeing passersby with hostility.
Ham, how are we going to get in there?
Ham stopped beside Vin.
Don't worry, I'm known to the garrisons. Besides, it's not as bad as it looks. The garrison members just put on an intimidating face. As you can imagine, they aren't very well liked. Most of the soldiers in there are Ska, men who have, in exchange for a better life, sold out to the Lord Ruler. Whenever there are Ska riots in the city, the local garrison is usually hit pretty hard by malcontents, hence the fortifications.
So, you know these men?
I'm not like Breeze or Kelvin. I can't put on faces and pretend. I'm just who I am. Those soldiers don't know I'm a Misting, but they know I work in the underground. I've known many of these guys for years. They've consistently tried to recruit me. And they generally have better luck getting people like me who are already outside the mainstream society to join their ranks.
But you're going to betray them.
Vin pulled Ham to the side of the road.
Betray? No, it won't be a betrayal. Those men are mercenaries, Vin. They've been hired to fight and they'll attack friends, even relatives, in a riot or rebellion. Soldiers learn to understand these kinds of things. We may be friends, but when it comes to fighting, none of us would hesitate to kill the others.
Vin nodded slowly. It seemed harsh. But that's what life is. Harsh. That part of Reen's teaching wasn't a lie.
Poor lads.
Ham looked at the garrison.
We could have used men like them. Before I left for the caves, I managed to recruit the few I thought would be receptive. The rest, well, they picked their path. Like me, they're just trying to give their kids a better life. The difference is they're willing to work for him in order to do it.
Ham turned back to her.
All right. You want some tips on burning pewter?
Vin nodded eagerly.
The soldiers usually let me spar with them. You can watch me fight. Burn bronze to see when I'm using allomancy. The first, most important thing you'll learn about pewter arming is when to use your metal. I've noticed that young allomancers tend to always flare their pewter, thinking that the stronger they are, the better. However, you don't always want to hit as hard as you can with each blow. Strength is a big part of fighting, but it's not the only part. If you always hit your hardest, you'll tire faster, and you'll give your opponent information about your limitations. A smart man hits his hardest at the end of the battle, when his opponent is the weakest. And in an extended battle like a war, the smart soldier is the one who survives the longest. He'll be the man who paces himself.
But don't you tire slower when you're using allomancy?
Yes. In fact, a man with enough pewter can keep fighting at near peak efficiency for hours. But pewter dragging like that takes practice, and you'll run out of metals eventually. When you do, the fatigue could kill you. Anyway, what I'm trying to explain is that it's usually best to vary your pewter burning. If you use more strength than you need, you could knock yourself off balance. Also, I've seen thugs who rely on their pewter so much that they disregard training and practice. Pewter enhances your physical abilities, but not your innate skill. If you don't know how to use a weapon, or if you aren't practiced in thinking quickly in a fight, you lose no matter how strong you are. I'll have to be extra careful with the garrison, since I don't want them to know I'm an allomancer. They'd be surprised at how often that's important. Watch how I use pewter. I won't just flare it for strength. If I stumble, I'll burn it to give me an instant sense of balance. When I dodge, I might burn it to help me duck out of the way a little faster. There are dozens of little tricks you can do if you know when to give yourself a boost.
Vin nodded.
Okay, let's go then. I'll tell the garrisoners that you're the daughter of a relative. You look young enough for your age, and they won't even think twice. Watch me fight, and we'll talk afterwards.
Vin nodded again, and the two of them approached the garrison. Ham waved to one of the guards.
Hey, Bevedon. I've got the day off. Is Sertz around?
He's here, Ham. But I don't know that this is the best day for sparring.
Oh?
Bevedon shared a glance with one of the other soldiers.
Go fetch the captain.
A few moments later, a busy-looking soldier approached from a side building, waving as soon as he saw Ham. His uniform bore a few extra stripes of color and a few gold-colored bits of metal on the shoulder.
Ham?
Sertz?
Ham clasped hands with the man.
Captain now, huh?
Happened last month.
Sertz eyed Vin.
She's my niece. Good lass.
Could we speak alone for a moment, Ham?
Ham shrugged and let himself get pulled to a more secluded place beside the complex gates. Vin's allomancy let her make out what they were saying.
What did I ever do without tin?
Look, Ham, you won't be able to come spar for a while. The garrison is going to be occupied.
Occupied? How?
I can't say, but, well, we could really use a soldier like you right now.
Fighting?
Yeah.
Must be something serious if it's taking the attention of the entire garrison.
A rebellion. Right here in the central dominance. We just got word. An army of Ska rebels appeared and attacked the Holstep garrison to the north.
What?
They must have come from the caves up there. Last word was that the Holstep fortifications are holding. But Ham, they're only 1,000 men strong. They need reinforcements desperately, and the Kolas will never get there in time. The Valtro garrison sent 5,000 soldiers, but we're not going to leave it to them. This is apparently a very big force of rebels, and the Lord Ruler gave us permission to go help.
Ham nodded.
So what about it? Real fighting, Ham. Real battle pay. We could really use a man of your skill. I'll make you an officer right off. Give you your own squad.
I'll have to think about it.
Don't take too long. We plan to march out in 2 hours.
I'll do it.
Good man.
Our army is exposed. They're not ready.
They were supposed to take Luthadel quietly, quickly, not face the garrison straight out.
Those men are going to get massacred.
Mistborn, The Final Empire is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2006 by Brandon Sanderson. All rights reserved. Published by arrangement with Tom Doherty Associates, LLC, Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC, care of Jabberwocky Literary Agency. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2014, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Terrence Aselford, Kimberly Gilbert, David Jordan, Thomas Keegan, Bradley Smith, Michael John Casey, Tony Nam, Michael Glenn, Danny Gavigan,
Mort Shelby, Ken Jackson, Nick DiPinto, Stephen Carpenter, Richard Rowan, Nora Eshrati, David Harris, Gregory Gorton, Christopher Graybill, Evan Casey, Elizabeth Jernigan, Tim Carlin, Joe Brack, Gary Tells, Eric Messner, Dylan Lynch, and Scott McCormick. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. The Mistborn theme and additional original music by Thomas Hogan. If you enjoyed Mistborn, The Final Empire, be sure to look for Eileen Wilkes' World of the Lupi series and Peter V. Brett's Demon Cycle series. Available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloads and podcasts. Keep listening for previews of other exciting titles in graphic audio.
This is the Dragon Slayer.
I'm Jig.
You're the one who killed the Dragon Strom?
Yes.
You put a spear through that monster's eye?
Yes.
You? You're the one they sing that song about, the one...
Yes, that's me.
He's like a little goblin doll.
The Goblin Trilogy. Book 2, Goblin Hero.
It's not the pixies you should be worried about.
Where have you been? I could have used some help down here. I had to fight an ogre and a snake thing. And what do you mean it's not the pixies I should be worried about? Do you remember the necromancer? He was just one pixie. Now we have a lot more than one.
The pixies will kill you anyway. They plan to kill every last thing in this mountain.
You take your ogres to safety. I'll take care of the pixies. You!
If you'll give us a little more time, we'd be happy to finish incapacitating ourselves, and then you can do with us whatever you'd like.
He was stunned, but not out. He tried again, and the air tingled with the power of his evil magic. Another moment, and we would have been done for.
Did you win?
Just as his hands began to burn with magic, I reached him, crushing his skull with my staff.
Available now in graphic audio.
He reminds me of a deranged rat the kids used to keep as a pet until one of the older girls ate him.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can select from over 900 titles and 60 series in either CD or high-quality download formats. If you would like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase the whole sets on CD or USB flash drive from graphicaudio.net. At graphicaudio.net, you can now earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable toward future online purchases. You can also get full mobile downloads directly to your phone or tablet with our new Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices, so you can listen on the go, anytime, anywhere. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our email newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.